Chris's Wicked Word Nosh, a place to chow down on topics relevant to writers of all kinds. Hello, and welcome to Marissa's Wicked Word Nosh. I'm Marissa, and this is a weekly podcast in which I talk about a wide variety of writing-related topics and literature, be it fiction or nonfiction. I usually don't go about them in any particular order, although I occasionally do two-parters. And when I do, I try to do part one 1 week and part two immediately afterward. But in general, I like to make it so that if you're listening to this podcast for the first time, and if that's really the case, welcome, you don't feel as though you have much catching up to do. If you'd like to hear more, please feel free to go back and listen to some of my previous episodes. My solo episodes are normally fairly short. With one or two exceptions, I think nearly all of my past episodes that ran longer than a half hour were interviews. I know when I discover a podcast that's been on for a while and like it enough that I want to listen to some previous episodes, I'm more likely to actually do that if their older episodes are fairly short. The reason for that being that there's just so much out there competing for our attention at any given moment. I get that. However, the downside to shorter episodes is that I'm giving you extremely condensed introductions to topics about which so much could be said. You could spend an entire semester, or even longer, studying a single literary genre, for example. Heck, you may even spend an entire semester talking about one or two authors. I can't give you much more than a brief glimpse of what a topic may have to offer in one or two podcast episodes. But on the plus side, if you come across the term, say, postmodernism in an article on fiction writing in a few months, or see a reference to absurdist literature on social media, maybe you'll remember a podcast episode I did on one of these topics and have a better understanding than you otherwise would have. That's mainly my goal when I put together my podcast episodes. So this week, having said all that, I'm not going to give you a quick intro to a literary genre. In fact, I'm kind of going to go in the opposite direction and focus on a literary technique that, pretty much by its definition, is short. It's a topic that I've wanted to talk about for a while on this show, and I think it's an important one. Mainly because I think it tells us a lot about our characters, and it also gives us a chance to reflect on what we've read or seen so far in a book or movie. And as I've said before, and I'll probably say again, in the future, most movies have scripts, and scripts are written, so I see no reason not to discuss them from time to time in a writing podcast. As far as this week's topic is concerned, there's this idea in our culture that life is more exciting when there's a lot going on all the time. Even though I think the pandemic has changed some of that, I don't know if that's so much for permanent or temporary, you know, people talking about getting back to normal, busy, 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 like that's a good thing, you know what I'm talking about. There's this idea in our culture that busyness is a good thing and we have to stay constantly busy. And I think this attitude can be seen in a lot of books and movies in which there's a lot of action. And I'm not knocking that. I like a lot of books, movies, and TV shows that have a lot of action. But I also don't see a lack of action, in the traditional sense of the term action anyway, as a negative thing. It's the kind of thing where maybe if you have too much of it, it can get boring. But a little bit here and there can actually make what you're reading or watching or writing more powerful. So what I'm going to talk about is the vignette, which you may have also heard referred to as a quote-unquote slice of life. According to an article by Amanda Patterson called "What is a Vignette and How Do I Write One?", which I'm including a link to in the notes for this episode, a vignette, quote, is a short scene in literature that is used to describe a moment in time. It is descriptive and creates an atmosphere around a character, an incident, an emotion, or a place, end quote. Patterson notes that the word vignette, which can be translated as, quote, little vine, end quote, literally got its name from the vine leaves that were used to decorate books in the 19th century. I did a search for old book covers with vine leaves on the cover in preparation for this episode, and I actually didn't find as many as I'd expected to, but I feel like I've seen them on more recent book covers, maybe to emulate the ones from the past, and maybe you have too. At least, hopefully, you know what I'm talking about. But the idea behind the vignette as a literary device is similar. You might say a vignette decorates a story by drawing our attention to something that, while it may not be crucial to the plot, adds a little extra flavor, often by highlighting what Patterson refers to as, quote, a defining emotional moment in a character's life, end quote. Patterson goes on to emphasize that a vignette is not the same as a flashback, which is usually important for purposes of the plot. This is not to say that a vignette needs to take place in the present, but if it does take place in the past, it probably won't be like, say, a life-changing moment from the narrator's past or in a character's past. A vignette is also normally very short. According to a masterclass article called What is a Vignette in Literature? Defining the Literary Device, plus 5 Tips on Writing Vignettes, most vignettes consist of 1,000 words or less. A flashback, on the other hand, can be longer than that. For example, most of Chapter 3 of my second novel, Grown Into It, consists of a series of flashbacks in which my protagonist, Wes, discusses some formative experiences from his late teens and early 20s in graphic detail. And I put them in there to give the reader a sense of what made him the person he is up to this point. But not too long after that, Wes is at a park with his present-day girlfriend, Alex, who tells him about a trip she took to that park that they're in at that very moment when she was much younger and a particular tree she was in love with. In this shorter scene, which is part of a longer scene that is essential for the plot, I tried to convey to the reader how majestic this tree appeared to the younger Alex and the sense of serenity she felt gazing at it. Patterson suggests using a vignette, quote, when you want to create an atmosphere around a place or a character, end quote. And that's what I was trying to do in that part of the scene, show the reader why this spot in the park was so special to Alex, and show a side of her that they may not have otherwise seen. Did I need to include it in the novel? Probably not, but I'm glad I did. Just like a vignette is not the same as a flashback, the masterclass article also advises against confusing it with flash fiction. Flash fiction pieces generally include a beginning, a middle, and an end, though, to paraphrase one of my idols, Jean-Luc Godard, probably in reference to something else, not necessarily in that order. While a vignette may not have any of these things, it may, but it doesn't have to. Masterclass also notes that a flash fiction piece often begins in the middle of some event or action, whereas a vignette is more or less a presentation of a moment in time. An article from WikiHow that I'm also including a link to, called How to Write a Vignette, actually stresses that the quote-unquote one rule of the vignette is to, quote, create an atmosphere. I would describe the example I just gave from my novel of Alex talking about the tree a monologue, but it definitely shares some similarities with a vignette. WikiHow stresses that a vignette can be written in either first, second, or third person point of view. However, given the brevity of a vignette, you're most likely going to want to stick to one point of view rather than switching between them. You don't need to use a certain type of language, by which I mean you can be very descriptive if you feel it's needed to convey the atmosphere, or you can be minimalist if you feel that would work better, nor do you need to adhere to a certain literary style. WikiHow notes that, quote, a vignette can also come in the form of a blog entry or even a Twitter post, end quote. According to that explanation, maybe Alex's monologue from my novel can be considered a vignette after all. And I promise that that's the last time I'm going to mention my novel in this episode. Actually, I always feel kind of obnoxious doing that. I'm pretty much averse to self-promotion as it is, but in particular, when I do that, it makes me feel like one of those professors who assigns the book that they wrote to their students. Have you ever had that happen? Because I had that happen a number of times in college. In some of my classes in college, my professor's book was the only book that was assigned all semester. And really, I'm not like that. I feel cheesy doing that. So I'm not going to talk about my book anymore. Another good example, and this is probably why I decided to do this episode now, is David Sedaris's Theft by Finding. It's a collection of his journal entries from the late 70s to the early 2000s. I've been reading Theft by Finding these last few weeks, and I've come across a lot of entries that are pretty short. Many of them don't include a lot of description, just a few sentences maybe describing an odd job Sedaris is working at, say, or a person he spots on the street or in an IHOP. The last few days I've been reading it, he's mainly been talking about France because he's living there pretty much full-time at this point. He might throw in a few lines of dialogue, but a lot of these entries don't come anywhere near 1,000 words. However, I've come away from most of these shorter entries with a vivid picture in my mind of the scenes and encounters Sedaris is describing. So, definitely, I think Sedaris is somebody who's able to convey an atmosphere, and that a lot of these diary entries are in keeping with the vignette. Both the WikiHow and the Masterclass articles stress that the language in a vignette needs to speak to the reader's five senses. I'm sure you've been told in at least one class whether or not the teacher actually wrote the book that was assigned as the semester's reading to show and not tell. And I think that's a good rule of thumb here. So if, for example, you're writing about a meal, tell us what's actually in that meal, what it was, how it was styled on the plate, or how it was slopped on the plate maybe, how easy it was to pick up with your hands and tear pieces off, how spicy it was or wasn't. I mean, I'm always amazed when I see a post on social media, people are saying that they ate something or they were reading a book or they were listening to type of music, and how many people don't say, well, what were you listening to, or what were you reading, or something like that, because that's always the first question in my mind. It always goes to the content of it, because I think that adds to the atmosphere. I really do. WikiHow says it may be okay to use a simile, metaphor, personification, or a similar literary device every now and then if it, quote, will highlight the rest of the vignette, end quote. But don't overuse them. Your reader is probably smart enough to look at language that's to the point and discern the mood that you're aiming for. So if you say that maybe this perfume that you're talking about smells like a rose, for example, or that that orange is as hard as a rock, you're likely to annoy them more than anything else. Also, WikiHow stresses that good vignettes, quote, have a sense of urgency, end quote. Which means that even though you want to be detailed, you shouldn't include details for the sake of using details. For example, if you want to describe the ducks that hang out at the pond outside your apartment, you don't need to include a description of the trees surrounding the pond unless, say, the ducks like to hang around a particular tree. Granted, as with other short pieces of writing, it can be hard at first to recognize what you should keep and what you can take out. So Masterclass says it's perfectly okay to, quote, go big, then edit, end quote. Again, a vignette is supposed to be short enough to read over a few times, taking your red pen or your computer's cut and paste function, which probably most of us are using right now, but you gotta give a little love to those red pens. They were used for so long to edit stuff. And removing stuff that you felt you needed when you started writing. But the more you look at it, the more you see it really doesn't need to be there. So I would recommend trying to write some vignettes if this is something that interests you. Start by studying some. If it's part of a story, ask why the writer may have felt the need to include it where it is, and ask yourself why you think it adds to the story. Take another look at how the vignette makes you see the character who's portrayed, or how you view the observer, or the narrator. Focus on the details that the writer chose to include. Why do you think they thought those details were important? You may not come up with the right answers, and really, there may not be any right answers. After all, you can't get into the writer's head, and you really don't need to see the picture that the writer's ultimately painting. The point is to get an idea of how a writer creates a mood so that you can do it too when you're ready. And don't limit yourself to books and stories. Another one of my favorite film directors is Jim Jarmusch, or Jarmusch, who's written, produced, and directed films like Only Lovers Left Alive, Patterson, Coffee and Cigarettes, Ghost Dog, Dead Man, to name just a few. A lot of scenes in Jarmusch's films don't have a lot going on, but he's incredibly successful, I think, at creating very unique moods. He's been quoted as saying, quote, "The beauty of life is in small details, not in big events," end quote. If you keep that in mind when you try to write a vignette, you should do fine. So, let me know what you think, and if you know of any good vignettes, send them over to me because I would love to know about them. Email me at marissadelefarfalle@gmail.com. And follow me on Twitter at @MarissaD13 and on Instagram at www.instagram.com/MarissaDF13. Also, please check out my Patreon page at www.patreon.com/MarissaDF. For $1 a month, I'll mention your name in an upcoming episode, and for $3 a month, I'll not only mention you in an upcoming episode, but I'll also give you access to 2 bonus episodes each month, as well as previous bonus episodes. I just put my first bonus episode up for the month of April yesterday, and I'm going to have another one up there by the end of this month. I'm trying to focus on topics there that are a little different from what I talk about here on the main feed. There is a little crossover with this month's Patreon episode, or the first Patreon episode of this month, but the idea is the same. I focus on reading and writing and try to give you ideas that hopefully you can take with you and use in your own reading and writing. Until next time, thanks so much for listening and for all of your feedback and support. I really appreciate all of your support, and I hope this episode inspires you to try your hand at writing a vignette if you haven't already, because I don't think they get enough attention, and it's time that changed. They can really say a lot in not so many words, and you can do some unique things with them. I'll leave you with a quote about vignettes by William S. Burroughs, a writer who is associated with the Beat Movement, and whose best known, albeit controversial work, Naked Lunch, consists of a number of vignettes that aren't connected in a conventional manner. According to a Wikipedia piece that I'll link to, Burroughs felt that these vignettes could be read in any order, and once said, quote, "Start any place you want. Start in the middle and read your way out. In short, start anywhere," end quote. There is a lot of room for you to play around when you're looking at vignettes. So have fun. And whatever you do, please stay safe and peace out.
This podcast has been brought to you by Anchor, which is the easiest way to make a podcast. Go to anchor.fm for more info.